things were going in a way that you kind of had a plan for what you were going to do, and you began early in the week, and you began kind of laying everything out, and then it just doesn't come together? Anybody ever had that happen to you? You know, you start off with a plan, and you're organized and you're put together, and then it just doesn't work out. It happens sometimes like that. So Monday morning, I come in here, and I said, I'm going to get a jump on the sermon for Sunday. I usually start, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm going to start on Monday this week. And so on Monday, I began kind of working on it. It's a short passage of Scripture this week. It has an intimidating sort of, the subtitle. What it says in this version here. Well, this one, New King James just says, walking in wisdom. Okay, and so it's about wisdom. It's about the will of God, living into the will of God, and that sort of stuff. And at the very end, it has some other stuff. And that's kind of the low-hanging fruit, thankfulness. So I said, okay, fine. It'll be a message on thankfulness. That's the easy part, right? We'll just go right into the thankfulness part. We'll skip the hard part, and we'll just go right there. And I began kind of working on it. And I didn't like it. You know, have you ever just not liked something and that sort of stuff? And so it wasn't until I was at Margaritaville Friday night at the pool at Margaritaville that I really got the inspiration for what would become today's message for you and I, as I'm listening to people wasting away at Margaritaville. Fins up. The fact of the matter is that life is like that. Sometimes it just doesn't turn out the way you expect. Sometimes it doesn't come together in the way that you expect, but that's okay. A reading from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from the heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay. I went digging around in the playroom this morning, which, if you've ever seen our playroom, you should know what a big deal that is. It's a scary place, the playroom. There's stuff everywhere, and I usually avoid even going in there. But today, for this message, I needed a visual aid. It's funny. As many Lego sets as we had, I couldn't find any Lego boxes. I finally found one, kind of ripped up a little bit, you know. But the threshold question for you and I today is what do you do? What do you do when this doesn't look like this? What do you do when the pieces do not look like the picture? When the process doesn't look like the promise. This is ridiculous. $39.95. And all I get is this little piece of worthless plastic, right? Ridiculous. this is not what I pictured. It's not what I pictured at all. This is what I pictured. And I opened the box, and out fell all these pieces. And I was thinking about that. And then I started to think, well, maybe, it's in pieces on purpose. Maybe it's in pieces on purpose. God says, Abraham, come out of your tent. Come out of your tent and count the stars if you can. Count the stars. Now, as the stars are in the sky, so will your descendants be, says God. He got the picture from the pieces. But then, everybody say, but then. But then, you see, God doesn't just show you the picture. And then hand you a piece. It's more than that. Sometimes you get the piece and you say to yourself, what am I supposed to do with this? Marriage is like that. You come into it with a picture, and you get a piece. Parenting is like that. You might say, I'm going to raise a world changer. And I say, start by changing a diaper, huh? Start by changing a diaper. What are we supposed to make of all this? One of the things I want you to understand is that God the Creator doesn't just create once. There's an old hymn called Creator God Creating Still. Creating is an ongoing process. These jars of clay that we have, the molding and the making into the ultimate picture, it's not just a picture, it's not a static picture, it's a dynamic picture. It's a process of putting pieces together to form what the ultimate picture is going to be. It's not just poof a picture. And the way it works is like this. We open the box and we find the courage to get started. And God hands you a piece. And then God hands you another piece. And we do the best we can with the pieces that we've been given, until ultimately they turn into something marvelous. Paul wrote, make the most out of every opportunity. Make the most out of every opportunity. That's what these pieces are. These pieces are opportunities. And some are as small as this. I don't know if you can see that. See it? Some are as small as that. And some are big pieces, big opportunities. It says, make the most out of every opportunity that you have, the small opportunities and the big opportunities. Because eventually, when you get enough pieces, they begin to turn into something. And what they turn into is something greater and more marvelous than what you even expected. But faithfulness is taking the piece you've been given, the little piece you've been given, and doing something with it. Making the most out of every opportunity. Now, let's be honest. That takes courage. That takes faith to get up every day and look at this mess of pieces and to see it and just take the piece you're given for that day and to try to make it into something, to try to build on it. That takes faith and that takes perseverance. And that takes the courage to get up every day and take up your cross and follow Jesus again. And to get up the next day and take up your cross and follow Jesus again. And again. And again. With the peace you've been given for that day. The unfortunate thing is there are a lot of people out there that are still caught up in this. They're still looking for this. They're 40 years old and they say, my life hasn't turned out the way I expected at all. I thought by now I'd have a better job, I'd have more money, I'd have a bigger house. I'd have all these things. It hasn't turned out like that. And they're so distraught because the picture on the box doesn't match what they got that they give up. And the unfortunate thing is, they give up on God too. All God's saying is, hey, let me give you another piece. Don't give up yet. We're still building here. This is a work. Don't give up. That's what God says. But they're so shut down because their life doesn't match the picture on the box. Would anybody like to admit today that you felt like that before? Why is it that my life doesn't match the picture on the box? I have. I have. But what Paul says here is true. We have to make the most out of every opportunity. How do we do that? Well, Paul says here, we're to be seekers of wisdom. I remember the first time I was in my 20s, and I got a phone call one day. I was at my church. I got a phone call one day from another pastor at another church. Somebody had been a pastor longer than I had, and I'm like, hey, what can I do for you? And he says, well, I'm calling you because I'm seeking wise counsel. Okie dokie. What you got? He was going through an intentional process of reaching out to people. He had a big decision to make, and he was seeking input into that. He was seeking wisdom into that situation. So Paul says here, in this process of making the most out of every opportunity, the process of putting the pieces together the way that God wants us to put them together, one of the things we have to do is we have to seek wisdom. Easier said than done, right? Raise your hand if you instantly know how to seek wisdom, how to become wise. Anybody? I thought about that a little bit. Looked for inspiration from Jimmy Buffett. Didn't find any. But I did look in the Bible, and the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what it says in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Say that with me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, what the heck does that mean? What does that mean anyway? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's almost like these pieces here. What are we supposed to make of that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, let me tell you. Fearing the Lord means fearing to run away from him. You with me? Fearing the Lord means fearing to run away from him. When my children are separated from me, we're at a place, and maybe there's a big crowd or something like that, and they get to the place where they can't see me anymore, they become afraid. I am their parent. It is my job to look out for them, to protect them, to be there for them, to make sure that they're safe. And when that separation occurs, it can incite fear. Do you ever remember a time when you were a little kid and you got lost? I remember one time I was at Dollywood, when it was Silver Dollar City, I believe, and I got lost. I got separated. And even today, at my age, I still remember that fear that was deep down inside of me. I was disconnected. I was alone. Fearing the Lord means fearing running away from him. It also means fearing what it's like to not trust God with our needs. So fearing the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And fearing the Lord means fearing to run away from him, to be separated from him. It also means fearing to not trust the Lord with your needs. Think about that for a minute. If you can't trust the Lord with your needs, who can you trust? Who can you trust? You're going to trust this mess? Are you going to trust the one that can put the pieces together? That's what fearing the Lord is. So that's how we get wise. We get wise by remembering not just who we are, but whose we are. That we belong to God. God is the source of our power. God is the source of our strength. God is the one who gives us the ability to take another piece and to make the most out of every opportunity. It's God. And when you get that, and when you fear, you get it to the point that you fear being separated from it, cut off from it in some sort of way, then you become wise. And when you become wise, then you get the ability to get some bigger pieces. Because as we grow in wisdom, God hands us a little bit more, right? Isn't that the way it works? So we learn to trust God. To fear God a little bit more. We get a little bit more. And to whom much is given, much is expected, right? That's how it works. And then the last thing that Paul tells us here in this idea of how we're supposed to put our lives together and how we're supposed to make sense of life, the last thing that Paul tells us is that thankfulness matters. In the process of all this, we're supposed to remain thankful. Now, every time one of my children gets, we have a birthday party or something, before they just want to tear into their gifts, you know, there's a pile of gifts, they want to attack the gifts. No, no, says Catherine. We must orderly do this. We must take time to write down each and every gift that you got and who it came from so that we may thank them. Try that with a six-year-old sometime. Okay, now, who's that from? Where's the tag? Was there a card? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And like, ah! You know, I just want to rip open the package. But no, take the time to remember the source of the gift. Let's tie back into wisdom. If you're thankful, if you keep your eyes toward a spirit of thankfulness every day, it reminds you of where the gift came from. And when it reminds you where the gift came from, it reminds you how much you need the giver. And when you remember how much you need the giver, you get wise. And you get more opportunity. And you can partner with God to do some pretty amazing things. And all of a sudden, the picture starts to come together. And it's an awesome picture. But it takes courage. You got to start with a little piece. You got to get over the fact that this picture might not be the right picture. And you got to have faith. You got to have faith that there is a picture. There is a picture. An expectation that you're going to see it. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we confess to you that even though we want to put our whole trust in your grace, even though we want to follow you daily with our lives, even though we want to help you build your kingdom here on earth, Lord, we confess to you that sometimes we get too caught up in the picture, too caught up in the way we think things were supposed to turn out, too afraid to trust you, with the pieces of our lives. But Lord, we want to put our trust in you. We want to become wise. We want to have thankful hearts. We want to live lives that matter and have meaning. We want to keep our eyes on the eternal and not just the right now. We want to lift up our heads. And we want to know the author and perfecter of our faith. So Lord, give us grace to do that. Help us spur one another on for the work that you have for us to do. Lord, not just the pieces of our lives, but the pieces of this church. Take them, Lord. Assemble them into something more marvelous than we can even imagine. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you're one of those people, you're still caught up in the picture. Time to let it go. Today, time to let it go. Might be keeping you from what your ultimate purpose and your ultimate promise is. Whether you're in eighth grade or you're in your 80th year of life, it doesn't make any difference. Today's the day. Let's stand and sing.